You know, right in 1898, I think that Mark Twain summed things up pretty accurately when he said, "The government of my country snubs honest simplicity, but fondles artistic villainy." And I think I might have developed into a very capable pickpocket if I had remained in public service a year or two. Our government, our media, it's such a hoot, because who knows what to believe about any of this stuff going on anymore. I'm waiting to get my guests online here. I'm bringing Captain Chris in, and he has some interesting views on a lot of the things that are going on, especially. I'm sorry, did you get Chris on? All right, Captain Chris, how are you doing today? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You're there.
Yeah, we're all here because we're not all there.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
You know,
anyway,
I was just saying before you came on that our government has just, I read a clip from Mark Twain, is that our government snubs honest simplicity but fondles artistic villainy, and that really describes what's going on in this country right now. This government is artistic with the way they're able to manipulate and create all kinds of doubt, I guess. I'm not really sure what's going on, Chris. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I asked you to come on the show last week, because you always have a good view on a little of all this stuff. And I had been talking to you earlier about the Trump mansion break-in by the FBI. I think that you had some interesting observations about that. And, you know, weren't you involved in writing those search warrants for the FBI or for the Department of Justice?
I was a prosecutor, both state and federal, for about 22 years. And I wrote a bunch of search warrants. In fact, I used to explain, I taught on occasion people how to write these things. I respect search warrants, and I respect the process of search warrants, because really what it does is it involves different branches of government in a separation of powers. The executive branch goes to a judicial officer, supposed to be a neutral and detached magistrate. And by that, they don't necessarily mean it's a magistrate who's named a magistrate. They could go to a district judge, or in state courts, it's various type of names for, different types of judges. But it's a judge that's authorized by law to issue an order. And a search warrant is really an order. And it directs law enforcement to do something. And what they're supposed to do is they're supposed to search and seize. They're supposed to search a particular place for a certain thing. And this is according to the tenor of the warrant and its application. When law enforcement makes an application, there is an affidavit. Someone swears to something. And this affidavit is attached to it becomes part of an application, which is a request to the court to issue an order. Okay, let's do this again. There's a sworn statement that is usually attached or incorporated in a request for a judge to issue an order to search a particular place for a particular thing. And the request for a search warrant should establish to a level of probable cause. And that's legal mumbo jumbo. I get, the easy way, and it's a non-legal way to look at this, is it's 51%, maybe more probable than not. That's what probable cause means. And what? Probable cause to believe what? The affidavit should support a neutral and detached magistrate's belief that, and here's the phrase that I would teach, it is there now. And it has to be the item to be seized, which is generally either evidence of the commission of a crime or contraband in itself. And contraband is something that you really don't have a title to, like counterfeit plates or drugs. Nobody owns drugs. They may think they do, but they're contraband in the eyes of the law. So the agents have to establish it, that either evidence of the commission of a specific criminal offense is there, and that their place has to be described with particularity, and there has to be a reasonable freshness to it. I mean, it can't be there last, 10 years ago. It's there now. And if that's established in the application and affidavit, then the magistrate issues a warrant, and that warrant directs agents or officers to go seize to that place that's described and take the things that's evidence of contraband. And that process is a really good process, generally, because what it does is it involves the executive branch and a different branch, a neutral and detached magistrate in the judicial branch. That's the theory of the process, and that's a good thing. So I'm all in favor of that.
Until politics gets involved in it.
Well, if the purpose in doing this, is corrupt, I could generally suggest that it's very difficult at a certain level to go through a week without violating some federal statute. You've torn a tag off your mattress, or and there's just all sorts of stuff that nobody really pays attention to. But that's not really what we're doing here. We're not chasing somebody for something that nobody pays attention to. And although that may be the case, too, because other presidents like Obama, other government officials have walked off, like Bill Clinton, have walked off with stuff that they shouldn't have. And nobody really, gets in their face about it. I think Hillary took some of the furnishings from the White House, and Obama had 30 million documents. And nobody got their panties in a wedge about these people. So the idea is that why are all of a sudden are we really concerned about Trump doing this? Is it because the thing to be seized really is evidence of the commission of an offense that theoretically someone's going to go out and prosecute? If that's the case and it's really that serious, well, have at it. But when you look at this stuff at arm's length, my best read is, and I may be proven wrong, and we have to see where this goes, this is really the weaponization. It is the politicization of an arm, maybe two arms, of the government. That is to say, the executive branch and the judiciary. I'm going to assume that the judge was a neutral and detached magistrate, although I've heard stories to suggest that there may be some connection. I'm not a tinfoil hat when it comes to this, but I am of concern about the FBI and the Justice Department. And the reason I say that is, if I'm looking to a different standard, if you're an independent or a Republican, or particularly if you're a conservative, a certain thing happens to you, and a certain way this happens to you. But if you are a progressive Democrat, nothing happens to you. Let me go down a list of stuff that I can just talk off the top of my head. This January 6th committee Congress issued subpoenas to look into the insurrection of Donald Trump, And people who didn't honor the subpoena were arrested. And I think Steve Bannon was actually taken to trial on it. Now, during the Obama administration, Eric Holder, who claimed to be, and this is, he said, or Obama said, that Holder was Obama's wingman. Okay, I'll go with that. But it turns out that Holder was given a subpoena to appear before Congress and bring records pertaining to an operation called Fast and Furious, which was kind of like what they call in the trade a reverse sting, where firearms were sent into Mexico, as I understand it. And one of the firearms that was sent was used to kill a DEA agent. And so people tried to figure out, what was all that about? And Holder refused to honor the subpoena. And he didn't produce the documents. Well, nobody arrested him.
Chris, that seems like a real crime, too, doesn't it?
It actually does. I mean, but it's that the crime wasn't the Fast and Furious, but maybe it was a crime. The problem was that Holder and the contumacious, as they say, the offensive behavior was he didn't honor the subpoena from Congress. Now, this isn't like somebody saying, well, we're going to subpoena you. You weren't even in Washington. You know what I mean? But you better honor the subpoena. Okay. Well, but a dual standard. But you can go down the list of where the FBI and the Justice Department look at something one way, if it's a progressive or a Democrat, and a different way, if it's a Republican. And, you know, we're all familiar with Hillary Clinton and the stuff that she pulled. You know, I remember when Hillary said, well, I deleted all those emails. I turned to my wife and I said, I don't think you understand what that woman just said. And, you know, months later, it kind of clicked in. But she took official records and put them someplace that where they weren't supposed to be, like on her server. And then she had classified documents on it. We know that she knew they were classified documents because she had her staff remove the C that was the designator of classified documentation. So the thing is, we know she did that. The FBI later came up and said, we found classified documents on her server. Nothing happened to her. Nobody prosecuted her for that. The other thing is that she destroyed stuff. She admitted she destroyed. I saw her on TV. She was at the UN. She said, I destroyed it. And nothing happened to her. Well, if she had classified documents, if she moved classified, she destroyed or altered them or that kind of stuff, why is it a problem, even assuming, and I don't know that he did, that Trump did that, but it's not a problem that Hillary did that? When you take a look at two similar situations that have a different outcome, you've got to wonder what is going on with the FBI then and what's going on with the FBI now. What's the difference? And when you go down the list of people, let's talk about other people that stuff happened to. What happened with Hunter Biden? You know, what happened with this guy? Remember, you know who this guy, Agent Kleinsmith was? Kleinsmith was somebody who was involved in the... Pardon me?
Kevin Kleinsmith.
I don't mean... He's a FBI, the FBI agent who materially altered information to go into a FISA warrant. He falsified an application to spy on... I believe it to have been George Papadopoulos, by changing the information that the CIA said that Papadopoulos was an asset of the CIA to say that Papadopoulos wasn't. That's my best recollection. Not what the guy's still a member of the D.C. bar. I mean, think about this. You know, if you had falsified some affidavit like that to spy on Hillary, do you know what they would have done to you? But I digress. You know, the thing is, there's one standard.
The FBI, you know, Chris, the FBI has been accused of being politically motivated since its inception. A lot of people have, and I've heard that the FBI was involved with Woodrow Wilson in the 14th Amendment and fighting off the opponents to the 14th Amendment.
Well, you know, and mayhaps. But today, this is part of a unified effort between the media, the FBI, and the Democrat Party, which I think is all run by people higher up in the world order than just those guys. But, you know, when you look at let's take a look at some evidence here. According to best information, Hunter Biden takes a laptop into a repair shop and forgets about it and doesn't pay for it. The problem is in the contract that Hunter Biden has with the repair guys, if you don't pay for it after a certain period of time, according to what he agreed to when he signed the contract, the laptop becomes the property of the repair guy. This is kind of, you pull this stunt with your car. You take your car into Joe the repair guy and you don't pay him. After a couple of years, he's going to sell your car. You know, I mean, this is no shock or surprise. This is how it goes. They get a lien on it, and they enforce it as a special provision for cars because, you know, they've got a Department of Motor Vehicles. But you know, under civil law, that's what they get to do according to what Hunter Biden agreed to. Okay, so the guy's got Hunter Biden's laptop, and there's a bunch of stuff on it. And here's what happens in concert. We talk about the FBI and politicization. First, the mainstream media refuses, and this is like a couple weeks before the election, to even allow the story to be published. In other words, if you are John Q. Public trying to figure out who I'm going to vote for, you don't get to hear stories about Hunter Biden is flown to China. He's getting a $1.2 billion with a B, kind of cash backstop for an investment firm. He flies over with his father on Air Force Two. Biden says he never talked to his kid about the business. Nobody ever asked Biden, wait a minute, you flew all the freaking way to China? You never said to your kid, what did you do when you got there? You know, none of that was followed up. Biden, as I understand it, told the Secret Service not to follow him, and he went and met with the Chinese. Think about that for a minute. But I digress. Nobody in the mainstream media covered that. And then here's what happened. The FBI wound up with that laptop. Does anybody know any charges that have come out? I haven't heard of any. And then on top of that, you get the media, you get the FBI in action, and then you get 50, whoever they were, people from the intelligence community, whatever that name, claiming that this laptop had all the earmarks or hallmarks or whatever it is of Russian disinformation. So what you get is a combination of the press, a combination of the FBI, and the bureaucratic state all suppressing information that we now know is real, isn't it? There's not a Russian anywhere around this stuff, except for the hookers that Hunter was paying for with money that was given to him by his dad. You know, you cannot look at this stuff and say that there is an equal application of the law. And not only is it not an equal application of the law when you look at the Lois Lerner. Remember, for the people who are listening, Lois Lerner was some functionary in the Internal Revenue Service who was accused of orchestrating a slow play on conservative authorization to operate as a nonprofit organization, which meant that people could give money and write it off as a tax deduction.
She was a stooge for the Democrats.
Well, she was slow rolling that. She was delaying all of that so that they didn't get the proper tax treatment, which is tilting the playing field in the election towards the progressives.
Hang on. I hear the music coming. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is Captain Fred, and I do have Captain Chris on the line right now. We'll be right back.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead, and that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure. Just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Daddy was home when you left.
You're right.
Was home when you left.
You're right.
Your brother was home when you left.
You're right.
The dog was home when you left.
You're right.
The cat was home when you left.
You're right.
The fish was home when you left.
You're right.
Your mommy, your daddy, your brother, your sister, the dog, the cat, the fish was home when you left.
You're right.
And that's the reason you left.
You're right.
I left my home.
I left my home.
Join the army.
Back, folks. This is Captain Fred on the Fifth Dimension, and today is August the 14th of 2022, and I have Captain Chris as guest with me today, and I'd like to we're going to take callers eventually here, but I wanted to get into some of these issues before we start getting spread out with a lot of callers on this thing. The number to call in, probably take the calls the second hour, but the number to call in is 512-248-8252. Again, that's 512-248-8252. Well, Chris, you know, I think this country, there's a large percentage of people that believe that this government is illegitimate. And, you know, you and I have spent hours talking about how we can fix some of the things that are wrong with this country, and we talked about the convention of states. You know, there are some things that we can do to fix things, but you know, a lot of people for a long time have been saying we should abolish the FBI.
Well, yeah, I do believe that federal law enforcement is important. In fact, it's critical, and let me suggest why. There are crimes and there are behaviors that are just beyond the capability of local law enforcement. The local law enforcement, although smart and effective, they don't have the ability to do the things that the FBI and the Treasury Department have to look into criminal offenses that are across state lines, that are maybe international. They just don't have the resources to keep up with that. Because, and let me explain the difference as you see it, and why the politicization, whatever that word is, making political law enforcement is such a bad idea. In fact, it's just very destructive. You know, if there's a dead body out on the street, and it looks like that person has been murdered, theoretically, the state police have an obligation to investigate that. And they have to go get the clues, and they have to figure out who killed Mr. Boddy. That's what they do. But the federal government is different in the prosecution of its offenses. The event, if it's possibly a crime, is brought to an attorney, assistant U.S. attorney, who authorizes the prosecution. So that's different. So not everything that's brought to the U.S. attorney's office gets prosecuted. And what this means and why that is the case is certain stuff is just too chicken poop to bring, and then stuff is just really outside the purview of federal law enforcement. Some of the stuff is just not serious enough, and it's better handled by local law enforcement. A lot of crimes are handled by local law enforcement and the federal authorities. For example, the drug problems, drug trafficking can be picked up by the state or the feds. If it's at a certain point or a certain level, the state may be the person, by the U.S. attorney's decision, to say, listen, you pick this up, would you please? We're going to go do interstate cartel trafficking, and you here in Texas don't really have the ability to monitor to the activities that are going on in New York State. And so when somebody uses the Justice Department and its resources for political ends, what they're doing is they're telling legitimate law enforcement, we don't have time for you because we're going to be chasing this political figure around. And that, I mean, is one of the problems. But the other problem is this. We have a constitution that has separation of powers, and when you take the office of an assistant U.S. attorney, you swear that what you're going to do is uphold the Constitution. And what you're going to do is you're going to uphold the laws of the United States. And when you give up the enforcement of laws to chase political figures for political purposes, in my opinion, you are violating your oath of office. It's just not right. You're just there to, as a law enforcement official, to stop crime. And if it looks like it's political, you get your nose out of that case and you take it upstairs and you say, to the smart people, I don't really wish to participate in this because it looks like a political prosecution. And I may be right or I may be wrong, but my personal ethics tells me I shouldn't get involved. Now, that's the honorable way of doing that. When you look at these things that have happened over the year, it doesn't seem that these prosecutions and the use of Justice Department resources has been even-handed. In fact, if I recall correctly, James Baker, who was a general counsel, he was like the head lawyer for the FBI, made some mention that Hillary Clinton wasn't prosecuted because they thought she was going to win the election. Now, wait a minute.
Hey,
Chris, wait a minute. What
do you think that the FBI as a whole is corrupt, and where does
Absolutely not.
But hey, Chris, we're going to have to address this in just a few more minutes because we're going to take the mid-hour break. This is the Fifth Dimension, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
No country can well be governed unless its citizens as a body keep religiously before their minds that they are the guardians of the law and that the law officers are only the machinery for its execution, nothing more. That was Mark Twain, and that was 125 years ago, Chris. If we are the guardians of the law, and the FBI and the IRS have been turned into political hammers, how can us as guardians of the law reel those two agencies in? Or can we?
Let me pick up the answer to that question and continue a response to a different question, which was, do I believe that the FBI is corrupt? And I said, I don't believe that the agents are. And the what we have to fix has to do with advancement within the bureaucracy. And let me explain. The agents that I work with, with a couple notable exceptions, were amazing people, hardworking, principled, dedicated. They risked their lives. I'm fully convinced that some of the agents that didn't want to shoot me, but actually would have taken a bullet for me. They were just amazing, and to this day, I hold them close to my heart as friends. They're courageous people, but the people that I work with, at the level that I work with, advanced because of achievement. Now, let me do this again. Did that person make cases? Did they, bring in a big investigation, smash crime and all that? Those are achievements, and the agents that I work with, a lot of them, went very high up in the department, within the FBI, because of those achievements. Wonderful people. On the other hand, there's a certain level of the bureaucracy, and it's not just the FBI. And I give you the Department of Defense. You take a look at General Miley. And I don't know if you know who Miley was. Miley was the guy who purportedly picked up a telephone and called the Chinese and said, spy, at the end of the Trump administration, says, the president may be a little wobbly here, so, if you hear some sort of saber rattling, you know, just understand that he's just, you know, I'm grotesquely paraphrasing. Which I thought was just outside the, way outside the line.
Yeah,
and I read his, but here's the point. You get a certain level in these institutions, the State Department, within the FBI, within the Treasury Department, within the military, where your advancement is political. It's not achievement. In other words, it's advancement by association. And the association has to do, and ultimately the corruption has to do, with alignment and the willingness to go along with party political activities. Let me back up. Legitimately within the federal government, people can have what I would call policy politics or policy political objectives. For example, if somebody says, for example, that cars pollute too much, and there ought to be, as a policy, an effort with the House and with the administrative, with the EPA, to reduce cars pollution. That's really policy political. So as a president, what you want to do is put people in office who support your policies. On the other hand, when people, and that's legitimate, I may disagree with the policy. I say, well, I don't think cars pollute that much, or, you know, whatever the deal is. But it's a policy. It's legitimate. It's a legitimate concern of the Environmental Protection Agency. I just, you know, I may disagree with where the EPA winds up on whether we can drill, do wells, or whatever.
Lobbyists have a lot more to do with policy than just about anybody, right? The lobbyists? Lobbyists have more to do with political policy than anything. If that's the case, policy's determining these actions of these agencies.
No. It's a different type of it's party politics versus policy politics. In other words, it can be policy political in the sense that the EPA saying or somebody saying the Department of Interior saying you can't drill on the North Shore of Alaska. Slope of Alaska is a policy, and that you may disagree with it or agree with it, but it's legitimate. On the other hand, party political activities, such as the FBI deciding not to prosecute Hillary Clinton because she was going to get elected president, that's a party political alignment. That's not a policy. It has to do with Democrats, and it has to do with the individual, and it has to do with election success of an individual. It has nothing to do with whether it's a good thing to have cars pollute or not, or whether or not you know, we should be watching out for the snail darter fish, you know. And this is a different idea. And what happens is within these institutions, at a certain level, in order to advance, you got to be with the team, you got to be with the gang. And what happens is these people become party political. And if you listen to the Strzok and Lisa Page, if you read the transcripts of their emails, you know these people were party political. We've got to stop Trump. We've got an insurance policy. That's not policy. That's not saying we should focus on organized crime versus, we should focus on human trafficking. That's a policy political law enforcement decision. But when you're saying is we got to stop Trump, that has nothing to do with policy. That has to do with party political alignment. And when these people associate themselves in activities that are party political, it is worse. It is worse than dangerous. Because what happens is the political party lines up with the arm of the government, and your tax money funds people who are coming after you. And they're not coming after you because you don't believe in global warming. They're coming after you because you don't believe in Hillary Clinton. If you understand what I'm saying, those are
But, you know, Chris, what we're trying to hash out here is this fixable? Can we fix this? Because everybody on this network loves this country, loves this nation. But like Mark Twain says, we love our government when it deserves it. The the Office of Personnel Management hires and fires a lot of upper executives for all these agencies. But you're saying that they have been politicized? Have all the agencies been politicized?
Well, let me explain. If you recall, the Inspector General, when he did his audit of the FBI, in a certain sense, is covering for the FBI. What he's doing is he's identifying problems within the FBI to be resolved by the FBI. That is not an independent criminal arm. That's not somebody going in there looking for crime. It's somebody in there going to look for, you know, who violated FBI policy, who violated FBI rules. You know, if I recall correctly, and I'm trying to think of, I think it was it McCabe, if it wasn't, I want to apologize, but I believe it was McCabe who not only lied during investigations into what happened during the Russiagate and other matters surrounding that, but he admitted that he lied. And he wasn't prosecuted. And the OIG discovered that, and he identified it. But nothing happened there, because that's not what the OIG does. And so if OPM decides that McCabe gets fired, he doesn't get his retirement, that's an in-house civil kind of job. It's like HR. It's like super HR. It's not like he's going to jail. And the thing is that there, in my opinion, you know, the Hatch Act prevents or prohibits people from effectively electioneering from federal office, with the exception of the president, I think. It turns out, and there may be one or two other people who get accepted, but the president can electioneer in the White House. But the point is there has to be, and I don't know how to unpack it. I really wish I could tell you. But there needs to be closer monitoring of people whose activities are party political and identifiable as such, and those people need to be subject to criminal penalties. Somebody who says, I'm going to stop a presidential candidate because I have an insurance policy, I don't know why that person, you know, is not subject to criminal sanctions.
Well, that's the point. I mean, the point is that we have a government that is criminal and has control of the whole process. I mean, God.
Who investigates the FBI agent who says, I'm going to stop this political candidate? And I'll hang up and wait for your response. You know what I mean?
I don't know. There's only
I think the FBI does, or the FBI should. So it's sort of like the Inspector General's office. Do you really think that the FBI is going to investigate and prosecute itself?
Well, if the IRS wants to audit me, I hope they let me run my own audit. Of course.
Everything's fine. Fred, don't worry about it.
I'm not worried about the FBI. If they investigate me, I'll run my own FBI investigation for sure.
That's the problem. And I don't think the Inspector General, from what he was doing, really have the right focus. I just don't think that these things are appropriate, and they shouldn't be criminally appropriate.
Let me ask you a little sideways question on this. How much influence, or how much do you think the media influences all of this stuff? I mean, you know, the media is casting all of the misinformation, especially, remember you brought up the Hunter Biden laptop and all the lack of prosecution. But how much of this do you think is the fault of the media?
I don't think it's the fault. I think it is the confluence. In other words, I think it's all the same stuff. I don't think that the media is different from the Democratic Party anymore. You know, someone, I was talking to or listening to someone who said that he was at the Columbia University, School of Journalism, and he asked everybody in the class who were Democrats, and everybody raised their hand. In other words, what happens, just like when we were talking about party political affiliation in government and in bureaucracies, the same thing happens in the entertainment industry and the news industry. You get advancement because it's not necessarily what you do well, it's what you don't do wrong. In other words, do you get along with everybody? Are you like everybody? Do you wear the same suit? Do you laugh at the same jokes when you go to cocktail parties? Do you share the same kinds of information and opinion? Do you hang out with each other? Do you agree with each other? And it's probably not even intentional. I bet half these people don't even notice it. But the point is, they think alike, they speak alike, they believe alike. The problem is that journalists are supposed to uncover facts. They're not supposed to go there and spout the easy stuff. They're not supposed to say what everybody else is saying. If you've seen those clips on Tucker Carlson or other shows where everybody in the mainstream media has the same phrase, they'll say, for example, this is insurrection. And they'll play like 18 clips and they'll have the same four or five words. Every one of these people, these quote journalists, are saying the exact same phrase.
Right. This the media is corrupted. It's corrupted politically.
We see it as corrupted because we disagree with it. And the other thing is, we see it as corrupted because they agree amongst themselves in the media not only to say certain things, but to not publicize other things.
Chris, in other words, they lie to us by omission. They lie to us with half truth. They lie to us constantly. And the Smith-Munt Act specifically was repealed so that they could lie to us legally. It's not illegal for them to lie to us. The federal government can lie to us legally. And they control, or the media, you know, the whole thing is turned so, it's asymmetrical information. We don't have any source for information other than what the media has, and their agenda is political.
Well, it not only is political, but it is politically specific. They are progressives. They live in an area. They live in California. They live in New York. How does New York and California vote? They're all Democrats. But the thing is that they are espousing what their perspective is. The problem is, it's not reality to you and me, and not only that, but they don't publicize the things that you and I think are governmentally troublesome. For example, illegal immigration. They don't cover that story. AOC went under the Trump administration and cried a defense about children in cages. Well, they got children in cages now, and guess what? I don't see anybody down there crying up against a chain link fence. They didn't even talk about it.
No.
There are people coming into this country. You know, there's polio. They've identified polio virus in New York State and a couple different counties. The thing is, diseases are being brought into this. I'm not talking about the fact that the person's an undocumented. I'm saying that these people don't get health checks sufficient to keep that stuff out. I mean, this is news.
You know, that's just the point. The point is that in this country we have an asymmetrical information source, and I don't want to call it news because I looked in Webster's for a definition of news, and in Webster it defined news as a television show. News is entertainment. It doesn't have anything to do with information that we may need to use to make our daily decisions. It's being used to create fear more than anything else right now. This whole thing, I believe, with the IRS hiring 87,000 agents is to put fear in everybody's heart, because I think this government realizes that they've lost the goodwill of the people of this country. I think that the people of this country believes that we have an illegitimate government, And I think that the announcement that they're going to hire 86,000 IRS employees is purely to scare everybody into continuing giving their taxes to this illegitimate government. So, you know, and the media, and the media jumps right in it. And this whole FBI invasion of Trump is the same thing. It creates fear. I mean, you better not hide anything from the FBI or they'll invade and take everything you've got.
Well, I think that the fear, that the broadcast of fear is one of two parts of progressive journalism and policy, political policy. There are two things that the Democrats do, that progressives do. They create fear and optics. They don't give information. What they want you to do is be afraid. You know that Joe Biden said that Romney was running, he told African Americans that Romney was going to put them back in chains. Now Mitt Romney doesn't have the testosterone to put his pet dog in chains, let alone people. I mean, the thing is, he would never do that. I don't like Romney, but that's absurd. I mean, apart from racist and insulting, the thing is that it's just ridiculous. But those are the kinds of fear-mongering tactics that the progressive use. And the other thing is optics. In other words, when AOC goes down to the border and weeps over children in cages, there's really no substantive information that you're getting. It's what it is tears. It's emotion. It's a reaction. It's like going to the scene of the accident and asking the victim who's pinned under a tractor trailer, how do you feel about this? I mean, there's no information in that. It's just to get people to feel a certain way.
Well, so Chris, you've been
afraid, make them fear. You know?
The whole crisis of the border, I've got mixed opinions about that too. I'm not really convinced that that what's happening there is the way we have been told that is going down there. I've interviewed a couple of people that live in the valley, and everybody that is there agrees that no one comes across that border without the Zetas knowing what's going on, not the Border Patrol. It's the Zetas that control that area down there, or the gangs in the Mexico side. I think that the politicalization of that issue is driving a lot of invasive. My personal opinion about the open borders is that the bankers love new debtors. I believe that every poor person that comes across the border that wants to work can get a job and go into debt just like the rest of us, especially...
Well, there's nothing wrong with immigration. I mean, it's a great idea. You know, bring lots of people. You know, my grandfather came to this country by himself with $50 from Greece. $50 by himself when he was 13. So I'm hardly the person to tell you that immigration is a bad idea. I think it's a great idea, but I want to know who you are, and I want to know that you're bringing something that we need. A 13-year-old who will face those challenges and who's here to work and their jobs to be done, and okay, but right. We should have control over that.
We have hardworking debt slaves in this country.
Well, that's what everybody's supposed to be. Everybody's supposed to be a debt slave, and you're supposed to get a social credit score, and you're supposed to get a little wristband that tells the government what your credit score is, social credit score is, so you can buy a plane ticket or you can travel between cities. I mean, this is what's going on in China. They've instituted a different type of score for people in Germany. I'm listening to. They're attempting to do this. They have COVID status. So you use your COVID status as the model, and then you just change what the score's about. It's not about COVID anymore. It's about whether you agree with the progressives.
I'm not sure there ever was about COVID. I believe that Well, all they've done is do the same thing the Weather Channel's done, is weaponize information. You know, the allergy flu season happened at the same time as COVID. I know that this particular strain of flu was more, it was worse because I had it. I didn't take any shots, but I had COVID. It took me 7-10 days to get over it, and it was miserable, like every other time I've had the flu. But I don't think it was worth giving up our culture, not our culture.
I had it too, and I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it wasn't pleasant, but the point is it wasn't worth wrecking the economy. But more importantly, it wasn't worth taking 2 years of education away from the nation's children.
Oh, what they've done to the children.
And the other thing is trying to give them these shots when the kids don't have the type of cell development to support COVID virus. That's why they don't get, my daughter is pretty mad at telling me about this. You know, it turns out that there's a reason kids don't get this and don't transmit it. It's because they're too young to have a particular type of cell development to support the virus. There's no need to give, I mean, you could if you want. You could vaccinate your dog if you want.
You know, Chris, I hear the music again. I wanted to say we're going to take some callers this next hour.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's take some callers. If there's anybody in, I know that there's been a couple that's already called. This is Captain Fred with Captain Chris, and we're talking about some of these issues. We'll be back in a few minutes.
There's no turning back, even while we sleep. We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world. It's my own design. It's my own remorse.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.